Like I said before, appreciate being here. Appreciating what the Lord's done for us in our life and in our togetherness. I just want to say it like that. And I like to tell you, if you miss Wednesday night service, you missed a good one. I'm going to say if you miss any Wednesday night service, you missed a good one. But I'm odd and I know about it. But I'm going to tell you just how good it was. It even helped me in my sleep when I went to sleep that night. And I'm going to tell you, and like I said, I may not mean nothing to nobody else, but it means something to me that even in my subconscious world that he can help me. In my dream, we was at a church and we were sitting there and I was on the second bench singing with the church. And y'all know that I ain't proclaimed to be a singer anyway, but singing with the church, and we were singing that song, "Because He Lives." And amongst singing it, the piano player just stopped. And she came down there to me and she said, "Here it is, all the church sounding good and you having to put your 2 cents in." She said, "I think you'd just be better off if you just let the church sing." And she just kept talking. And just like any mortal man, we get our feelings hurt sometimes. And I got up and I started walking down the aisle. And the Lord spoke to me, said, "Did you just not hear the message tonight? That you just use what you got? That you use what you got left over?" He said, "Did you not hear that message?" And I come right back up to her and I told her, I said, "Maybe you should have heard the message tonight about what you just got left over." And then I just proceeded to sing the chorus of "Because He Lives," and I woke up with a smile on my face. Because even in your dreams, He can make you feel His presence. Then you feel His presence, then you think, "Hey, I'm going to have a good day. Everything's going to fall in line because this is how I woke up this morning." Well, it don't work that way. Got to work, everything feels like it just ain't going the way you think it should, and then your mind starts running wild with you. Everything's going wrong, you ain't feeling good. And then all of a sudden, the Lord comes back again and said, "Can't you use just what you got?" And I asked Him, I said, "Well, what have I got?" He said, "Ain't you got my peace? Ain't you got my joy?" And then I started humming that song that Susan and them sang, "Sometimes I Found the Lily in My Valley." And how He just makes that day star just shine again. And it just started getting a whole lot better. Because I started using what He gave me. Now, like I said, it may not mean much to nobody else. But I needed His help, and He was there at that present time. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I need His help again this morning, and I need y'all's help. Because of things in our minds a lot of times, but I appreciate the opportunity to stand. I still pray that Brother Randy will get better, and things will get back the way it needs to be, I reckon, and everything, but I just pray that we just do that the Lord has us to do, and hopefully we can get our thought across. But we're going to read in some familiar scripture. First place we're going to read is in Luke chapter 24. And then we're going to read in Acts the second chapter of Acts. And just pray that it might can come out like it goes in sometimes. Because I know sometimes even y'all probably be singing a song and it just lifts you up and it feels like, and then you think, "Hey, if I get up here and I sing this song, everybody's going to feel." And then it just don't happen that way all the time. But that don't mean you still didn't feel it. Because some things is meant for me, some things is meant for y'all, some things meant for us. And we just need to get all we can. But we're going to read Luke chapter 24, we're going to start at verse 46. And it says, and said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you been endued with power from on high. Now we're going to read in Acts chapter 2. Like I said, this ain't nothing new. But we're going to read on the second chapter, we're just going to read the fifth verse. Well, let me just start at the beginning and read through the fifth verse. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house, and where there were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. I'd just like to say a prayer right quick, if you will. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come in prayer this morning, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for your words that we've read, Father. I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to get ourselves out of the way just for a few minutes, Lord, to say that you have us to say and to do that you have us to do. I pray, Lord, that the ears will be open, Lord, and the hearts will be open, Lord, to receive that you send our way. And nothing that's coming from me, Lord, but if it's coming from you. But I pray, Lord, that I'll be able to do that and get myself and my mind out from what we have, Lord, and just take what you have and give it unto them. And for help, Lord, I pray this morning. And I just thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. But as we was thinking about all this, Jesus told them over there in Luke, he said, just tarry in Jerusalem until you're endowed with power from on high, which we know that was speaking about when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Ghost came to stay there. But really, what really stayed on my mind was that fifth verse. It says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. You might say, well, what does that got to be with it? Well, I just had a thought about them, that it pays to be hanging around the church. We know that there was 120 up in the upper part, but that wasn't the only ones that was there. They was people that was hanging around the church waiting for something. And it pays to hang around the church. I know people comes and people goes, but and then they'll become people that hangs around. And if you hang around long enough, I'm just going to tell you, you'll get something. But sometimes it don't come as fast as what we think it should, and we quit hanging around. And it ain't just about going in and out the doors. We don't hang around in our minds a lot of times to wait for the Spirit to come. And you might say, how can you say that? Because I'm number one guilty of the issue. That sometimes it pays to hang around. I was thinking about all this, even from the beginning, there's people that we need to hang around, and there's people that we don't need to hang around. You might say, well, that don't make sense. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can hang around the wrong people, and you'll go down the wrong path. If you hang around the right people, more likely you have a better opportunity of staying on the right path. You might say, well, are they people that's out there like that? Yes, they are. You can go all the way back to the Old Testament. I started thinking about Ruth and Naomi. Whenever Naomi, they went down, the Bible says that she lost her husband, she lost her two boys. The only thing she had left was two daughter-in-laws. And even at that moment in time, she even told the daughter-in-law, she said, hey, look, I ain't got nothing else for you. But they both still went at that time. And she told them again, she said, look, I ain't got nothing for you. Even if I could have some sons, you wouldn't hang around long enough to have families by them. Just go back. Just go back. And the Bible says that the one went back, but Ruth, it said it cling unto her. And she told her, she said, don't ask me to go back no more. I'm just going to sum it up. Because when it really comes down to it, I want to hang around you. I want to be around you. And when it comes right down to it, I want your people to be my people. I want your God to be my God. Where you died, where you're buried, that's where I want to be. We ought to have that type of attitude with the church. That we ought to have, no matter what comes, what may, that we're going to just hang around and be there for the church. And the church will be there for us. You know, some people really gets really bad down on the church. I might have said this one time before about matters. But people leave the church and they don't concern themselves about it. But when it comes time and something happens in their life, that's the first place that they want somebody to call on. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you'll hang around her to start with, it'll be easier to get a hold of her. I know God knows all things. I know He knows where we are and what we stand in need of. But we need to hang around. There's a whole lot of opportunities in this natural life that we have. And people in our minds, we think as long as we ain't hurting nobody and harming nobody, that it's okay. But there's a lot of things that is misleading our spiritual life because we're not hanging around. It's evident in our families, in our friends. There's a lot of people that says, I used to go. I used to be there. I know about it. But there ain't a whole lot of people just hanging around. But the 120 up there came looking for something other. And we focus on them. But the Bible says when it came that they was 5,000 saved that day. So evidently somebody was hanging around waiting for something because they believed it was coming. We get to a place, and you know this, we hear people say this, and we might even said it ourselves, I don't know. But they said, even if somebody offered me $1 million, I wouldn't deny the Lord. You ever heard that statement? You know why they can say that or why we might have said it? Because it ain't never going to happen. There ain't nobody going to come and offer us $1 million to deny the Lord. So it's easily said. But you know what? Peter told him at one time, he said, even if all these deny you, I'm not going to. He wouldn't even offer anything. But when it come right down to it, he denied him. Thomas told him at one time, he said, I'll go to you even to your death. Well, we know him as Doubting Thomas. Now, they didn't stay that way. I want to go ahead and put it out there. They didn't stay that way. But at that moment in time that they was hanging around, it was easy to say. But whenever they got parted from Jesus, it wasn't that easy to say no more. And that's the way we are in our own lives. We got things offered to us. We got certain jobs. Now, I'm not jumping on nobody that has to go to work at certain times. I'm not saying that. But we got jobs that really we don't have to take, but we'll go do. We got opportunities to go and do things that we really don't got to do, but Earlier one time, we probably said, I wouldn't take nothing for church. You might say, you telling me I can't go out there and do and still be a Christian? I'm going to tell you this, I ain't saying you can't, but you're making it harder on yourself when you get away from God and the church. This is our strength right here. And it pays to hang around. We've got a lot of elders that we speak about and that we testify about. And that's the reason they were strong as they was, because they hung around. There's things that we desire to have, even in our spirit life. We desire to have it. Elisha even told Elijah that time. Elijah said, what do you want from me? Because he'd done already told him a couple of times, you just stay there. I'm just going to hang around you is what I'm going to do. That's basically what he said. I'm just going to hang around. I'll be here. Finally, Elijah said, well, what are you looking for out of me? That's how we are at the church. There's people looking for something other out of us. But if they hang around long enough, we got exactly what they need. Elisha said, I want a double portion of what you got. He said, well, I'll tell you what, if you see me leave and you're still hanging around, you'll get it. On their travels, two different times, even the sons of the prophets, they say, said, don't you know he's leaving? Don't you know he's... There's some discouragement along the way that we have to face. There's things that happens in our life that it makes you wonder if this way is even worth it sometimes. I'll just say myself because it's been there. But because Sunday morning rolls around, it don't make me better than nobody, but it sure makes me feel better than a lot of bodies because I keep coming and keep trying to hang around. Because there's times Sunday mornings I don't think I'd even go today, but you work it around, just come on. Like I said, Wednesday nights, if you come around and hang around with us just a little bit on Wednesday nights, it'll sure help you. Moses told his father-in-law, said, if you go with us, in other words, they was the church at that time, if you go with us, we'll do you good. Just come and hang around with us a little while. Maybe some things to rub off on you. Or maybe rub off on us if we need it. But Elijah, just because the people said he's leaving and tried to be some discouragement about him, he hung in there. He hung around. All of a sudden, here comes a fire chariot out of the sky, swoops him up, takes him home. And the Bible says he walked on over and he picked up the mantle that fell from Elijah. Now, you know what somebody was looking for? There's something somebody watching him and looking for. See if there was something other about him. See if his hanging around paid off or not. Bible said he went and got it. You see, before they got there, Elijah took his mantle and touched the waters and it parted. We just think of the Red Sea, but there's more than once when the waters parted. And they walked across. Well, because he hung around, he had what he had. He touched the water again, and he got to walk back across because of hanging around. But hanging around the church pays off. Dedication to the church pays off. Hanging around's fine, and we don't want you going nowhere. Even if you ain't going to do nothing, we'd just rather you be right here. But we'd rather us get in here together and start working in together. And the dedication you have will pay off. You see, back to Ruth and them, the dedication that Ruth had to staying with Naomi, when she got back down to Naomi's spot and Boaz started seeing her and started loving her and wanting her, but he knew, according to what the law says, that he wasn't the first one in line. But he had to go to his elder, and he started speaking about the land and the possessions. Everybody wants the land and possessions. Everybody wants something. But what he said, well, I guess you'll be marrying her. And he said, I don't guess I will. He said, I ain't putting none of my name in somebody like that. He said, you can just have it. But because of her dedication, she had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. You count, I think, about 14 generations down, along came Jesus, because a woman didn't go back home. She hung around. There's some good things that can come out of hanging around the right people. We have to face the world every day. We have to hear things. But there's one thing that we don't have to do. We don't have to hang around it. We don't have to participate in it. We can do that the Lord has us to do. There's 10 virgins one time. Bible calls them 5 wise and 5 foolish. You know what? They're all hanging around the same area. They're all hanging around the same area. But because 5 of them came prepared to hang around, and 5 of them didn't, when they heard the sound of the bridegroom coming, give me some of what you got. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you lost, I ain't got enough in me to give to you. But if you hang around long enough and you stay, the opportunity for you to have what we got will come. But because the 5 foolish didn't have, they had to go somewhere else off and get it. And by the time they came back to hang around, the ones that was hanging around and stayed entered in. And even though they was there for a while, it still didn't do them no good. So if we come and hang around, but we also come prepared to hang around, I believe we can help each other out. They came to the door and said, let us in. We got it now. Well, it's too late. You wasn't hanging around here when I came through. 8 people was hanging around the ark one day. Well, they built it too. But they was hanging around it. Why was they hanging around it? Because God said there's coming a flood. And the Bible said there came a day whenever they entered in. The ones that was hanging around entered in. Undoubtedly, in my mind, I see it this way. I don't know how fast it just really swooped and went. But I believe somebody came running, trying to get to the hanging out area, and it wasn't there no more. So we need to be real careful a lot of times before we're just hanging around. And I'll say this, the church ain't foolish. I ain't talking about me. I ain't just talking about you. I'm talking about the church that's in us. The church ain't foolish. The Bible said one time after, I think it's Naaman that came to Elisha looking for a healing. Elisha told him what to do, or sent a servant out to tell him what to do, and he went and did it. He come back and he offered him some stuff. Because he's happy to be healed. Here, I want to give you stuff. Elisha said, no. Said, it ain't the time of the year. It ain't that time. And that ain't what we're doing it for. You just go back home. Well, he had a servant that hung around him, Gehazi. The Bible said he went and chased Naaman down and lied. I'll just say it this way. Basically told him, he said, the master's changed his mind. He said, we'll just take all that stuff now. And he went and put it away. Then about time he went back in the building, said, Elisha said, where you been? He said, I just been. He said, well, my heart went. You say, what does that mean? The church knows where we stand individually. You might say, well, no, they don't know. Did you used to be a singer that came and sang a lot of songs? And you don't do it no more. Was you one to usually stand up and testify that the Lord saved you and really had something other to tell, but you ain't got nothing to tell that much no more? I ain't trying to get on to you. I've been there. And the church knowed where I was. May not be out doing nothing big, but it may be sometimes what we're not doing. We may not just be just mentally hanging around. And I ain't talking about in this building. I'm talking about on your job. I drive a Heister. And I tell you, like I said, I get frustrated along with everybody else because I let it hang around. But then when I get over to speaking to the Lord about things and start hanging around with Him, the day comes a whole lot easier. Now, I'm not the only one who talks that way. If I asked everybody to raise your hand, if he's helped you through a day, every hand would have to go up. But even in our minds, and we spoke a lot about it this morning, we get to hanging around the places we don't need to be around. We can't help thoughts that crosses our minds at the moment in time. We can't help that. But what we can help is if we entertain them thoughts and let that thought hang around. And I'm going to say this, not to go in any kind of detail about matters, but a few years back, and we was talking about some of it last night, I was on my job. Rachel came to my job, and she talked to me about a situation back at her other job. And the dad in me, and we all got one of them things in our hearts where the dad was frustrated so bad that I told my boss, man, whenever I left, I said, you better get some bail money ready because I'm fixing to hurt somebody. I got in the car, drove out the parking lot with her in it, and I thank God it was 10 miles to where she worked because God spoke to me for 10 miles. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you have proclaimed to be mine. He said, and you think you want to handle this. He said, I want you to remember this. What you do, you're demonstrating who you are, and who you are represents me. You see, we sang that song, He's the God of the good times and God of the bad times, and it's easy to sing. But then bad time comes, it ain't too easy. So by the time we got there, I walked in there and I talked to her boss, talked to the other individual, and I said, the only thing I can tell you, I said, in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, is I forgive you. I said, but I want you to understand this one thing. I said, we think that is a sign of weakness. I said, and it ain't. It takes a stronger man to give it to the Lord and to leave it alone than it is for me to think I got to do something about it. But what the story is he reminded me that I'm his. And I need to act like it even when I'm mad. And I need to act like it when I ain't mad. I need to let him hang around just a little bit more. I need to hang around him a little bit more. I may not be always up in the upper room, but I better be hanging around pretty close. Because it can help you. But hanging around the church, it'll pay off. And the other night, when we was up here praying, having an altar call, altar prayer, a burden really got on my heart, and it's been there. As Brother Robert started speaking about his kids, praying for them. Then Brother Mike, and then there's a few others, and I've got them about it. And I just prayed all week. I said, Lord, I just wish they'd just come and just hang out with us. And you know something? Whenever they do show up, they like it. They enjoy the people. They enjoy it. I know sometimes you still sit on their mind that they know what they need and what they need to do. But there's still something on the inside that says, I like being there. But I just want to pray that they just come and hang out with us. And it's for sure that somebody's going to do something other with them. The world's always got something other to offer. And so do we. I ain't telling us to go out and start compromising everything just trying to get them. But I believe this, if we really get earnest with the Lord in our hearts, and we start hanging out with the Lord every day of the week, that it can make a difference in them and in us. What did the prodigal son do? He just wanted to go find somebody else to hang out with. And it costed him. The Bible says, and he came to his mind, came to himself. I believe he started thinking, I think if I just go back home and hang out with Dad, it'll be just a little bit better. Well, that's what we need them to think, that they need to come back home and start hanging out with us. But I just believe that if we hang around in ourselves, in our minds, in our soul, that we can make a difference. We must make a difference. There ain't no can. There's a must. We must make a difference. And that's just what I feel like telling you. I know sometimes we think, we struggle, we figure out, but the only thing I can say is I am who I am. And it's by the grace of God. I'll say it that way. It's like Paul did. But if you ever got any thoughts of testing anything out in the world, I'm just going to tell you this way. Don't. The world don't love you. They can't help you. But if you come and hang out, stay around long enough, I believe you can find the help that you need. That's it. Anybody got anything they'd like to say or do?